This is The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm the best decision your organization has ever made.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Would you like a massage?
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When you got a chance to go 8-9 and all it will cost you is your wife and your kids.
They suck. Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom?
Today's guests, ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst, Cardinals general manager Monty Ossenfort, actor Eric Bana, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, where people come and do too much press. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're on the Roku channel. We're on this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. In other words, we're accessible. So check us out all day today. We got fun three-hour show in store for you. Brian Windhorst is going to join us in about 20 minutes' time to preview round number two that began over the weekend with the Minnesota Timberwolves winning their fifth consecutive playoff game to start these playoffs, sweeping out the Suns, and then coming for a piece of the defending champs in their own building, and they got themselves a nice chunk of the Nuggets. A big-time win by the Timberwolves on Saturday, and then we had the Cavs beating staving off the Orlando Magic for the right to, I guess, rearrange their deck chairs before taking on the Boston Celtics in round number two, which begins tonight. Also in the Eastern Conference with the Pacers and the Knicks. Can't wait for that one. Game two is tonight between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. And if they win that one to go up 2-0 on the defending champs going back home, our guest on tomorrow's program is going to really love it. Craig Kilborn's on tomorrow's program. So we're just going to have a fun week again after a dynamite week last week. Monty Ossenfort, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, will be joining us, top of hour number two, and the actor Eric Bana, who I loved in Munich and Black Hawk Down and so many great movies from his filmography. He's here in studio hour number three. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
I'm great. I promise not to spike a shot glass.
That's
today.
Good. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see
good
you.
Good morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, how are you? The candle's lit over there.
Candle's lit. I'm great. Saw a great roast. Saw some great wrestling.
Let me tell you something, awesome. Guys. Listen, we're, as you know, aficionados of comedy on this program. Thrilled that we had Jerry Seinfeld on the program last week, and then he gave us a shout-out over the weekend on Weekend Update, which we'll talk about later on in this program, because holy crap. And then Jeffrey Ross has been on this program multiple times. And the greatest roast of all time, as it was called by Netflix last night, honored to have delivered the first spoken word live last night.
Great job, Rich.
Inside the forum, welcoming everybody into that building last night and introducing Kevin Hart, who got things started. Let me just tell you something. That roast on Netflix of Tom Brady was absolutely outstanding. Every single word, every single syllable, a couple sets, didn't light the flame of the roast. But other than that, I'll tell you, it was just absolutely spectacular. If anybody missed it last night, obviously you can check it out on Netflix right here on Roku. And it's going to live there forever. And man, I kind of felt sitting there last night with Suze, next to the Grays, by the way, Jim Gray and his wife, across from another Jim Harbaugh, next to Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, was there as well. It was really a who's who, quite a bit of who's who last night. I kind of felt like I was watching a long, long overdue psychiatric session for the New England Patriots organization.
Because you were.
I kind of felt like we were inside a safe space, a safe haven for the Patriots to get 20 years off their chests.
Just free.
Am I wrong?
Unloaded.
Kevin Hart in the role of Dr. Melfi?
I guess so. Where, it was just the forum turned into one huge couch. And one after another we saw a Patriot lie down on the couch and get off their chest something they really wanted to say to the other. And the wild thing is all of the psychology of the Patriots dynasty behind the scenes that we saw on that Apple TV documentary that Belichick also roasted.
Oh, the roast saying of Bill Belichick?
The 10-part roast of Bill Belichick on Apple TV on the dynasty. It just seemed like they had to get something off their chest to the other, and for some reason chose to use the platform of Netflix in front of a live television audience of millions to finally get it off their chest and say it to the person they've been dying to say it to. And they all did it in honor of Tom Brady, who I must say, putting himself in that position last night to hear it from everybody, including comedians I'm sure he'd never heard of prior to being introduced to them by an outstanding writing staff that Sarah Tiano was part of.
Yes.
Whose roast did she personally produce?
Gronk and Peyton Manning, a little bit of Belichick.
Oh, my God. Those were amazing. And so for Brady to put himself in this position is spectacular, top-notch move out of him. And he didn't have to. He heard about his wife. He heard it about his sisters. He heard it about his crypto. He heard it about his soccer team from Belichick, which we'll hear in a second. He heard about it, and it is something that he didn't want to hear about over and over and over and over again. But it did.
The most public failures of his life, you know?
It provided the safe space for a therapy session for the Patriots, long overdue. Drew Bledsoe first up.
Kicked it off, man. After
Kevin Hart did what all roast masters have to do in charge of a roast is come out and set the tone. He was the first one to talk about Tom's ex-wife. He was the first one to talk about everything that Brady didn't want to hear about. And he did it in the most profane, hilarious manner, which is the way the first up host of a roast needs to do. He's got to clear the field and let the field follow him behind him. He's got to set the stage for the dais. And then Jeffrey Ross came out as roast Jay Simpson. Okay.
With like a bunch of devils.
With a bunch of devils around him. And then he was the first one to take a shot at Bob Kraft, which Brady came up and said to him, cut that out and cleaning it up. Having no idea that after he said, would you like a massage, that Susie and I would be the subject of the cutaway.
Yeah, you guys were
Had no idea. Okay. And so then comes Drew Bledsoe, who had this to say to Tom Brady.
Buddy, you know, you have more rings than I do, but I've experienced a couple things that you will never experience. You know, the feeling of being the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. And a 28th wedding anniversary. It was yesterday.
Just destruction, man. It's savage.
All right, so there's that. How many times do you think Bledsoe want to say to him, so, okay, Mr. 199, I know you took my job and the rings and all that, but I had a pretty quick draft night. How about you?
I'd still take Tom.
Belichick comes out, by the way, introduced by Ron Burgundy. Brilliant.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
To the Death Star music.
Oh, my God. And then at one point had this to say to Tom Brady.
I see your soccer team, Birmingham City. Got knocked down to another tier in the English Football League. So, you know, for those not familiar with English football and the intricacies to their obscure regulation system, just let me say, I'll put it in English for you, they suck. Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom? People have said that Tom and I have butted heads a lot, and in a way, that was true, but not really. It was hard to butt heads with Tom because he was so far up Alex Guerrero's ass.
Now, is that right there, Alex Guerrero, in the whole conversation, right, about Alex Guerrero with Brady wanting Alex Guerrero to have an office and Alex Guerrero being his, you know, body coach, his health
on the plane,
guru,
on the sideline.
And then Guerrero had to be, apparently Belichick evicted him. Yeah. I mean, that's a fault line that nobody ever talked about. And then he had that joke to Brady. Whose joke was it last night saying that good luck getting, going to be on the, Bob Kraft. Bob Kraft said, good luck owning a piece of the Raiders. They've already done for you what you want, what you've always wanted. One of your favorite things is just getting rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. He said that to Brady.
I mean, Edelman said Guerrero, the snake oil salesman.
Oh, my God. Well, then Edelman, Gronk, we can't replay because he couldn't put three words together that's safe for air. Okay, including the joke that he apparently created himself about the size of Tom Brady's reach.
Yes.
Okay.
Reach.
So, wow. And Sarah confirmed on Twitter today he did, in fact, write that joke. When he said, I wrote that joke. Ha-ha.
Yeah, he really did.
Okay. And so... But Edelman gave up the ghost about this being his therapy session, in case you hadn't figured it out by this point, of what he said to Bill Belichick. Because Bill, to his credit, also stayed on the stage and sat on the dais. He sat between Gronk and Randy Moss. When he was done, he just took a seat. Can I sit right here? He stayed.
And he was laughing the whole time.
And kudos to him for staying, because he could have... Because when you sit on the dais, you are opening yourself up to slings and arrows.
Other people did not stay.
Oh, they did not. They did not. Ron Burgundy left. Peyton Manning and Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck left.
So, at any rate, Edelman gave up the ghost. Listen to what he said in the middle of his strafing of Bill Belichick.
You remember when you used to yell at us? Look, assholes. Fucking kids down at Foxborough High can make that fucking play.
I've been waiting for this for so long.
Look, asshole, Foxborough High is the only job offer you f***ing had.
I've been waiting for this for so long. That was kind of, I know the name of the Tom Brady roast was the greatest roast of all time, the Groat.
Groat.
It could be renamed, I've been waiting for this for so long.
Just for all these guys to finally take shots at Bill.
Finally take shots at Bill, yeah. At Tom, at Alex Guerrero, and Brady to return fire, and Belichick having to, I mean, in all honesty, Belichick being there for Brady is something that obviously in 2019, 2020, we didn't think would be possible by 2024, okay? And then it might even be too soon. Kevin Hart bringing up Belichick and Kraft for a shot together, you know, and Bill like had a, he, it kind of looked like there was some reluctance and to Bill, be straight up, even though Bill was a great sport on every front last night.
But he did it. He got up there and he did it.
Susie and I were looking like, did he take, did he drink?
He eventually did.
He was the last one.
Bob and Kevin slammed right away. Bill kind of paused.
I mean.
And then he did it.
Holy cow. We saw a therapy session on Netflix last night, including, which we'll discuss later on the program, Brady seemingly saying he no longer pleads the fifth, he deflated footballs. And flat out, listen, it's a joke.
Come on, guys.
Hey, man, you know my 2 cents on it.
There's always some truth in a joke.
It doesn't matter.
I plead the fifth.
No longer.
He did not write the joke.
Later on in the show, we'll hit that. But my goodness gracious, was that phenomenal. It was great to be there. Yeah. It was an honor to start it. It was a night to remember. We need more roasts We need more folks to do this. And apparently Brady and Jeff Ross are in business together. I think Brady owns this groat now, right?
They now co-own the roast.
Right, and
forward,
so they're going to do this again and again and again. And maybe not for just sports people, like whoever's the greatest of all time in their endeavor. Yep. And for Brady to do it, I don't know of another person of his status and his standing and his reputation out there, certainly in the sports world, that would subject himself to this.
Would Jeter do it?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
A lot of gift basket jokes.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, it's clearly all on the table when you do that, and he knew it, and I saw him. Susie and I ran into him underneath the stage about 15, 20 minutes before air. I've never seen him look like that. He looked, and he even said,
he's
nervous. He basically said, paraphrasing, I don't know what I got myself into.
Yeah. And you could see it right away. Kevin Hart coming out, like you said, set the tone, made a Giselle joke at like the 2-minute mark. And you could see the look on Tom's face. Why did I agree to this?
Right.
Why did I say yes?
And then about an hour in, he'd heard it pretty much all of it.
And he loosened up. He had a few, tequilas.
Right. He heard pretty much all of it. And at that point in time, he knew with each passing roaster, Nikki Glaser was phenomenal. Tony Hinchcliffe was brilliant. With each passing roaster last night, he was getting closer to his rebuttal, which he crushed. What a night. Cannot stress to all folks out there enough. Check it out on Netflix on the Roku portal.
It.
And make sure the kids are tucked away.
Yes.
Earmuffs.
Lots of
if they're anywhere near the television. Oh, my God. Was that amazing? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. When we come back, we turn our attention to the association playoffs and the Lakers coaching search that is running at the same time. Could they be looking at the Clippers head coach now that the Clippers are out? What is going on? Brian Windhorst, as always, will provide the information. We're off and running on this Monday program. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. So, I'm thrilled that Belichick did that roast last night, man, and that he did all of it. And the guy that you see at this roast joking and having fun and being part of the mix is sort of the guy that I saw at the NFL 100 and that people will say, oh, this is what Bill's like behind the scenes. And, You know, you saw it a little bit on Pat's draft show, and I guess you're going to see it on the Manning cast. He's going to do stuff on the Manning cast.
Yeah, Peyton kind of broke the way, news there.
Let me tell you this, man. Because the Manning cast, in my mind, is at its best when they have somebody on who is equally as into the football X's and O's to watch the game as it unfolds in real time and zeroing in on the conversation necessary to be had because of the play-by-play missing on that broadcast. And Belichick's going to be phenomenal at that. Phenomenal. Because I, and especially because I remember the Pro Bowls years ago when NFL Network was at it and I was there for them. There was one that Belichick coached, and he and Peyton Manning sat at a table by themselves at the pool bar that only a few people dared approach. And I sat there thinking, I would love to know what that conversation is. You're about to get it on the Manning cast. I guarantee you that those two guys at the pool bar were talking ball. And the two of them talking ball together with Eli in the mix. When Peyton said that last night in his roast delivery, that Belichick's going to be part of the Manning cast. Phenomenal.
Bill is crushing the offseason.
And it's only been like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Thrilled that he's stopping by. He's our favorite to talk to when we're talking association. He is Brian Windhorst of the worldwide leader in sports. Great to see you, Brian. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Rich. How are you?
I'm great, man. Put in perspective, what are we witnessing with Anthony Edwards' performance through the first five games of these playoffs? What do you think?
Well, he's, first off, in today's day and age, it's
okay. We'll get back to him in a second right here. Okay. I thought he was doing one of those.
Yeah, he's just like, and then he was going to look around.
Okay.
And do the thing.
We'll get back on it.
Okay.
I use the word witnessing because that is the proper word. The conversation you're hearing about Anthony Edwards right now, and we talked about it last week.
We're using the M and J word.
It's,
you know,
you see,
it's dangerous territory.
Yeah, I can't.
The
go
Michael
that
Jordan.
Far yet,
I know, but it's,
well,
you know,
his again, the soundbite of him telling Carl Anthony Towns in front of the media to stop effing fouling. To me, was as close to Jordan as I've seen him, because it's not just the play that you need to see. You need to see the defense. You need to see the gumption.
The attackability at the rim.
Yes. And the
highlights.
The cutting your heart out and showed it to you pumping. Now, if he takes out the Nuggets.
Now we're talking.
Now, well.
We're talking national. I mean, look, you watch watch League Pass every night, listen to NBA podcast. You know the Wolves have been rising, and is a budding superstar. But if, you know, they play in a city and Midwest, like, not a lot of people are watching T-Wolves basketball on a nightly basis. They're just getting introduced to this guy. Whoa, this number five is pretty good. He's 22 years old. He's doing things where it's him and Kobe Bryant are the two guys in the category. And, you know, we're seeing a guy take over now. And if he takes out the defending champs and the probable three-time MVP, look out.
That's where he'll be placed on the national map. But the Jordan stuff, he's got to do it six times. Right?
Sure.
And he's got to do it for a decade and a half.
Mike didn't do it until he was 26.
Right, and defensive player of the year. So the Jordan stuff.
He's 22.
Again, I know. But it's exciting to see.
It's exciting.
And that's why I use the word witnessed. What are we witnessing with Anthony Edwards? Is Brian Windhorst back? Okay, he's not back yet. Okay, that's what I mean by what are we seeing? What's unfolding here for him? Because sweeping out the Suns was
still kind of eyebrow raising.
You expected them to beat the Suns based on their season-long performance. Mm-hmm. The Suns coming in, the Suns as they were constituted, and
We thought that'd be sweep, more of a
I think a sweep was not.
I think we were all thinking probably six in games. The cards. Look, that's still Kevin Durant. That's still Devin Booker, and right. You know, we thought
Bradley
it was going
to
not be more than Bradley Beal, but it's KD, man, it's Book. They were just in the finals a few years ago.
And then now they took out the 43 points for him.
Oh, baby.
In that game one victory. And now it's house money tonight.
Yeah, they've house already money shifted tonight.
They've already shifted the series. They have the home court advantage. And tomorrow, guess who's coming in tomorrow? Our in-studio guest, first hour. The Larry O'Brien Trophy is going to be here. We're going to complete the Rich Eisen Show Trophy EGOT. We had the Commissioner's Trophy of Major League Baseball in Kansas City at the Big Slick a few years ago. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then in studio, we've had the Lombardi Trophy. The other day, the Stanley Cup. And tomorrow, we complete the EGOT.
Larry O'B. You know, Chris, just...
Enough sports trophies. We've got him back on the program. We've got our friend Brian Windhorst back here. You there, Brian?
I'm sorry, Rich. I relocated to hopefully a better area here.
Terrific. So just to repeat, I asked you what we're witnessing with Anthony Edwards, and I chose that word purposefully because it does appear that we're seeing something special unfold, Brian.
It's extremely rare for a player who's this young, age 22. I know he's in his fourth season, but he's still really young, to care this much about both ends of the court or be this talented at both ends of the court. You sometimes see guys who are very talented defensively, and they're not talented offensively. He is obviously extremely talented offensively. He could have the highlight of the night, any night in the NBA. And this guy who cares so much about defense. And I think it's because he's been raised on a team that cares about defense. And finding two-way stars, it's hard. And finding two-way stars that are this engaging and who are this competitive and who want it and, frankly, do it with a smile. Now, I'm not saying he won't play with an edge or won't scowl every now and then, but he's a very electric personality with an electric game. And, you know, he's somebody that is going to be on your television on Christmas Day and in the spring, I think, for many years to come.
So what did we see on Saturday that you think is repeatable here for them in this series?
So they had a very interesting game plan. They're more equipped to do this than other teams are before I talk about it. But I think it's important to realize that Chris Finch and Mike Inouye, who is the lead assistant, both used to coach in Denver. And so it's not like there's any secrets about the Nuggets, but these guys have been thinking about this series for a long time. And remember last year, they obviously went out in six games. But they didn't have Jaden McDaniels, who's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league because he punched the wall the last night of the season and broke his hand. They didn't have Naz Reid, who's that third seven-footer that gives them all those options on Jokic. He was out with injury, too. Now that they got their full hand, their game plan really had two facets defensively, or actually overall. One, they attacked Jamal Murray on defense and put him in something like 60 or so pick and rolls. And the guy that they brought up to screen every single time was whoever Jokic was guarding. So Jokic and Jamal Murray were forced to defend something like 60-plus pick and rolls, which meant they had to work and expend energy on the defensive end. And also, Murray's dealing with a leg injury, so they challenged him there. The second thing is, defensively, they treated Jokic like a guard because he is a guard in a lot of ways. So repeatedly, not the whole game, but you know, seven or eight times, they pressured him in the backcourt or picked him up full court with their big men. Now, you don't typically want your big man pressuring in the backcourt, but when you have three that you can rotate in, that's, you know, just it forced him to work a little harder. And again, you're working on wearing him out. And then they didn't really put Gobert. Tomorrow, Gobert is probably going to win his fourth Defensive Player of the Year award. And so you'd say, well, you got Gobert, you put him on Jokic. But they didn't really. What they did was they would put one of the other big men on him. And there were times when Gobert did guard him, but they put one of the other defensive center seven footers on him. And the reason was because they wanted Gobert back there to defend the rim, to defend those lobs for Aaron Gordon. And as a result, they had size on Jokic that he had to deal with. And they took away that play at the rim. You add it all up and it ends up being a pretty effective game plan. Now, I think there will be counters that the Nuggets will run, and they'll look to do some other stuff with their role players, especially Michael Porter, who I think is playing well enough to merit more than 13 shots. But the game plan that they have is got some merit that could cause them some problems over the course of the series.
Brian Windhorst of ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Knicks and the Pacers begin tonight, and you know, Knicks fans are feeling it. They're feeling it, Brian. And then you're also seeing stories out there that they're not only back, but back on the map as a destination for other players that want to be there because they're seeing what's cooking there. Is there any, you know, fire behind that smoke right now, do you think, Brian?
Well, there's kind of two types of teams in the playoffs. There's teams in the playoffs that have sort of expended their resources and adding talent. You look at something like, you know, Minnesota, for example. Minnesota has traded all of its picks and pick swaps that they're allowed to trade going forward. You know, if there was a player that today declared, "I'm a superstar, get me to Minnesota," it'd be hard to trade for him. And then you have, you know, Cleveland is another example of that. Boston has traded, not everything, but they've traded a lot. And you have a team like New York, which has 7 tradable first-round picks and 11 overall over the next 7 years. Tradable salary that they have and, you know, the ability to have somebody be upwardly mobile. And the thing about it is, Rich, I have thought that somebody was going to want to be in New York for years now. And I was thinking that back in 2019-20 because it's so wide open to come and have a moment. And by the way, someone's taken it. That person is Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson has used New York the way that I thought other star players would want to do it. Jalen has just become a star in the role, whereas I thought other stars would want to be here. I'm still a little bit amazed that Kevin Durant didn't want to play in New York and he wanted to play in Brooklyn. He's articulated it. He has his reasons. Whatever. But so you're asking me, do I think it could happen? Yeah, but I thought it would happen 3-4 years ago. So the one thing I'll say about this team is they are very much calibrated for Tibbs. This team is almost designed perfectly to play for Tibbs. So I think they have to be careful. Obviously, if you can get one of the top 10 players in the league or 15 or whatever says he wants to play there, you're definitely going to do it. But they got something good going here, and they need to have patience on what they want to do with this roster.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Durant because I don't know of many people that kind of believe Matt Ishbia is saying we're the team to beat, essentially. You know, like we're gonna stick and stay. A lot of folks think that they're gonna have to get rid of either Durant or Booker. Is that true, Brian?
Do people in the league say that? Yes, they do. I talked to multiple people who think that's what they're going to have to do. Do the Suns say that? No, they do not. I think the Suns' intention is to keep all three of these star players, tweak the roster, tweak some of their systems and their processes, and try to be better next year. And Durant, not that he is, you know, sworn to telling the whole truth all the time, Durant, when he left, basically said, I think continuity is valuable. He was looking at the Timberwolves team that had basically brought their entire team back from last year. And he's like, that continuity is pretty important there. That said, in a player like Durant's case, that's not up to them. That's up to the team. It's up to the player. It's always up to the player. And so if Durant had a change of heart, which we've seen in the past, then that would potentially be on the table. But he didn't say that. He didn't sound like that. And it doesn't sound like that's what the team wants. And if your point is that you don't think they're going to be able to materially change their roster without doing something like that, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't think it's something that they're, as we sit here in the first week of May, not saying that's something that we should expect.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. Interpret Joel Embiid's post-game comments after being eliminated, talking about how we have these players here for 1 year and gone. What did he... I assume he was referring to Harden, if not Jimmy Butler before that, but I'll give you the floor on interpreting those comments, Brian.
Well, the best thing about what Philly has going for them is that they have discovered their second star. And so when the Harden, I don't know if you want to call it an experiment, because it was kind of a marriage, when that failed, It looked like the Sixers may be in trouble because how are they going to replace that player? Well, they have found a new star player, and that is what's most important when you consider what's going on with the, with the 76ers. They also have $60 million in cap space, but they are not going to be under pressure to go out and get a player that is an MVP type candidate. They can potentially break that up into several different things. They don't have to sign players with it either. They can use it in trades. There's other ways to use cap space than in signing players. And they got some assets in that Harden trade. They got a couple extra draft picks that they can use in deals. So I think what Embiid's looking at is let's start to construct a core, and let's do that with this offseason. And the Sixers are equipped to do that. And I would, you know, if I was a player who was interested in moving teams, whether it's by free agency or by trade, you're looking at what Maxey is doing and you know what Joel can do. And you're saying, hey, I can go and be that sort of supporting star that could really fit there. So there's a couple of teams that are in that spot. They're going to have competition, but they have the tools to improve their roster. And so I promise you, Daryl Morey is working every single day on that between now and July to get that done.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our studios are just up the road from the Lakers facility. What's going on in that building right now, Brian?
Well, I know that they probably would have loved to have gotten their hands on Ty Lue, but it sounds like Ty Lue is, you know, I don't know. I don't think they'd started the negotiation as of the end of last week. So I don't want to say like, you know, it's all spick and span, but it sounded to me like the Clippers want to extend him and that he is, you know, for the most part wants to be there. So he's off the board. And so now you're looking at finding a coach for a team that they've had a coach every 2 or 3 years. They're playing an incredibly competitive situation in the Western Conference with teams in front of them that I don't necessarily see flying back at them and teams behind them gaining on them with an older roster. You know, the one thing that they do have, they have 3 first-round picks and some players they potentially could use in trade. I do think that they can be a player in the market to try to upgrade their roster, but they also have a tendency to not want to go to the wall when it comes to paying coaches. And, you know, we're in a situation where coaches, top coaches are now getting 8 figures a year. And, you know, the Lakers, I don't know if they're prepared for that type of commitment. Maybe they are, but you know, like Mike Budenholzer is a name that is often being associated with them a lot. Well, first off, Mike Budenholzer coaches some of the same systems that Darvin Ham does because Darvin came from Budenholzer's staff in Milwaukee. Secondly, I'm watching what the coaches with a championship on their resume have gotten paid over the last year. Steve Kerr got 17. Eric Spoelstra got 15. Monty Williams, who doesn't even have a championship, got 12 or 13, whatever that was. Mike Budenholzer's a championship coach. So you better be ready to open up that checkbook. And maybe the Lakers will, but they're going to be deep into the tax next year. So there's a lot of things at play when you consider. It's not just go out and get the best available coach. There's a lot of different things at play. We also don't even know all the jobs that are going to be open yet. There's still some situations we got to keep an eye on. So it's going to be hard. And whenever you fire a coach who's had some success, and Darvin had some success, you can quibble with anything that you want about his rotations or some of his decisions or what happened in that series with the Nuggets. He had some success. And if you're going to remove a coach who's had some success, you are under immense pressure as an organization to upgrade. And it can be hard. And, you know, a significant part of the reason why the Lakers are out in the first round this year is because their roster had flaws. Some of the reason that Darvin was making some of the decisions he was he was playing whack-a-mole a lot of times, trying to fix certain things that were popping up. So it's a very hard job. There's some challenges with it, and it's not maybe the glamour job that people outside may assume that it is.
Well, I mean, and obviously it's all a big question about what LeBron wants to do, right? How long does he want to stay? Does he want to stay? Who's the coach that he would definitely say, yeah, let's bring that guy in for my last couple years of my career, that I'm now willing to stay in Los Angeles to do? What about his son? I mean, don't you think that that is essentially a large part of this equation too, Brian?
Kinda. Like, I'm not sure LeBron has made a free agency decision in his career based on the coach. He didn't care about David Blatt when he came to Cleveland. He didn't care about Eric Spoelstra when he went to Miami. He didn't care about Luke Walton when he went to the Lakers. It wasn't like when he was, you know, when he left Cleveland, he was leaving Ty Lue, the guy he would probably love to have back. I think LeBron just assumes that the organization is, he's going to give his opinion and the organization's either going to do it or not. If I were the Lakers, you're looking for a coach who has a vision for how to use the players that you've got or how to acquire the players that can help you. LeBron's going to do what LeBron's going to do. I mean, I've described being the coach of the Lakers right now like being vice president, because you're going to be third or fourth in charge at best. It's a great sounding job, and you get to fly in a nice plane, and you get great hotel or restaurant reservations, but you're not paid that much relatively, and you often get blamed for stuff. It's obviously a coach make a big difference in the NBA. I'm not downplaying that, but it sounds like a better job than it actually is. And if you don't believe me, ask the last three or four guys or five or six guys who've been in it.
Before I let you go, Brian, did you see the Brady roast last night?
Did you see I've just seen clips.
Okay.
I've just seen clips.
Do you think there's any NBA star that would subject himself to sitting in a roast chair like Brady did last night?
It is an absolutely great question.
Thank you.
I don't think I'd be stunned if LeBron did.
Jordan? Would Jordan ever sit down for something like that?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me? He'd be up there, be a fist fight. Maybe Steph, because Steph is so well-liked that, and it would all be sort of good-natured.
Mm-hmm.
But can I say that
I
do, as you said before I came on, I do find this version of Belichick absolutely fascinating. I was on the edge of my seat during the McAfee broadcast during the draft, the way he was analyzing stuff. Because he opened the door to that ridiculous display that he gave us every week at the podium. He opened the door and showed why he is the visionary and great guy that he is. Mm-mm. And I am here for all of it.
Me too.
If he's coached his last game, which I would be surprised about, so be it. But if this is the last act of Bill Belichick, give it all to me. I couldn't be more interested in him showing the world exactly what kind of person he is, because it potentially could change the way people look at him. I know that sounds wild. Obviously not going to change the way they judge his accomplishments, but it could change the way people evaluate him as a person. And I mean, he should lean into it. First off, he'd make a lot of money doing it, maybe not as much as coaching, but I that was my favorite part of it. I loved it. And I can't wait to, my first order of business will be to watch all of his, routine is or whatever.
Oh, it was great. He was great at it, man. I love it. You say there'd be a fist fight if Jordan ever was the roastie. Is that what you're saying?
Within 15 minutes, maybe less. I mean, he doesn't put up with that stuff. Forget about it. I mean, he's documentedly punched teammates in practice. And I promise you, Steve Kerr did not insult him or anything like that. Or, can you imagine just from the Bobcats years, the material? Oh. I mean, forget about it. No. First off, the guy's a billionaire.
Brady's close to it. I mean, that's why, he subjected himself.
I'm no just idea.
So there's
no idea why.
So it's Curry. I don't know if Curry's roastable, though. You know what I mean?
He's like, there's nice. Yeah, everybody likes him.
You know what I mean? Like, there's got to have, you got to have a hook.
But Draymond.
That's not
there'd
a bad
be a
one.
Long, there'd be a, Draymond might throw a punch too, but I think there'd be a long line of people would be happy to be on that roast list.
That's not a bad one, Brian. Okay. We're gonna run that up a flagpole. Thanks for the time as always, and always look for my calls, texts, and requests for your time. You're awesome. Thanks, brother.
Take care, guys. Have a good week.
At Windhorst ESPN. Check him out.
Hey, buddy.
Follow him. Draymond. Wouldn't be a bad one. There's a lot to roast him on. Curry's like, what are you going to roast him on?
Yeah.
Shaq has been roasted, hasn't he? Didn't Shaq get roasted?
I think he did. I don't know if it was like an official, you know.
Not like an official. But
no, we want one of these with Shaq.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad.
Magic Johnson?
I ain't going to be there.
I don't think he will either. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show. What a fun weekend we've had, man. Lots to talk about. Live from Monday.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Philadelphia Eagles, we have that to talk about, too.
Yes, as I'm draped
in
my Eagles paraphernalia.
Now, that's like your gut. So you got the green hoodie.
Yeah, I went green hoodie, and then I went satin black jacket black eagle on it. This is subtle.
Yeah,
this is subtle. I didn't want to come here and be blatant with it. This is a subtle.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. It's sort of like a watermark sort of situation that you have right
there.
But
then you get up close and you're like, whoa, he really is an Eagles fan. He's got a lot.
Yes.
He's got a lot of Eagles stuff on. I'm wearing a jersey to the Super Bowl with the Jerome Brown patch.
That's what you're going to do?
Yes.
Okay.
I got the Randall Cunningham jersey, but my jersey has a Jerome Brown patch.
Well, what will it say on the back? Will it say heart? Will it say your name?
No, it's say Cunningham. It's a real jersey.
Okay.
I can't make it say heart. I'm no longer authentic if I make it say heart. It's got to be a real jersey. This is a real moment.
Understand.
It's a big moment for me, man.
This is it.
It's a big game.
What do you think?
What do you mean, what do I think? The score's going to be 83-6. I called it. I put my prediction out there a long time ago.
Okay.
I had a dream. I saw it.
And how many touchdowns then for Nick Foles then out of that?
Nick Foles going to throw for 32 touchdowns. 32. It's going to be a grinding game, and Foles is going into this game with so much confidence. After the last game, he's got so much confidence. I don't care what you say. You can't beat confidence. You know how much confidence I have?
Yeah.
You can't beat my confidence. I don't care what you tell me. I'm so confident. Foles has confidence. Our defense has confidence. We are here. This is where we said we would be in the beginning of the season, and we got here. That's confidence. They're used to being here. That's cocky. That's a little nonchalant shoulder shrug. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same type of confidence. It's not the same type of hunger. It's a different level of hunger. And these dogs got to eat. Get it? Because they was calling us underdogs.
Yes, I know. Love Kevin Hart. Brilliant last night. Absolutely brilliant. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so you see, I've earned this role of best dad ever, right?
Did you earn that, or did someone just give it to you?
Oh, hard earned, sir. Okay. But it was given to me, but Father's Day years ago, whatever. So Suze is up about an hour plus away at a bar mitzvah with Coop for his friend Ryan.
Nice.
Great bar mitzvah. I could not make it because I was home because Zan had a get-together with his friends in high school, and there was a sleepover that you might not want to do, whatever. I'm in town, so it's just Taylor and I.
Ooh, okay.
Take her to dinner.
Love it.
Favorite pizza spot. Then Bennett's Ice Cream here in Los Angeles. Got to go visit it, everybody.
Was this Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
Then we go home, and we watch Kung Fu Panda. She had not seen.
By the way, great movie.
Excuse me. She'd seen everyone from reverse, 4-3-2. She had not yet seen the original.
Oh,
we're checking that box.
That's
it's
awesome.
All great. Amidst Kung Fu Panda, my phone starts going nuts. Crazy. And I'm trying to be present.
Yeah, you're spending time with your baby
right.
girl.
Movie
but
night.
At this point now, I have to see what the hell's going on. And first time I've ever said to Taylor, we got to pause this because Jerry Seinfeld has just shouted out your dad on Saturday Night Live. What? I'm like getting texts. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So Jerry, as you know, was here on Thursday as part of his press tour for Unfrosted, a great film that's number one on Netflix right now. And apparently that appearance stuck with him as he showed up on the Weekend Update as the man who did too much press. Hit it.
I gotta stop.
You've kind of been everywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen you. You've been. I even saw you on Rich Eisen.
I wasn't on Rich Eisen.
No, you were. I saw it.
I like Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
Yeah, yeah. It's a sports show.
I know. I know that now.
I know that now.
So, guys, I'm accessible.
Accessible.
The door's always open.
That's kind of true.
844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Just replace that best dad ever with accessible.
I'm accessible. He called me a sports comforter when he was here.
That was great, too.
And now I'm accessible. I'm an accessible sports comforter.
It's right there when you need him.
Oh, my gosh.
Last night you were the opener?
Yeah, that was wild. I didn't expect you to tell us.
Guys, I'm going to go play the Powerball. Who wants a piece?
You'll tell us anything.
Do it, man.
I didn't know you were going to. The show starts.
I mean, I knew Scott, he was doing it, but it was
You knew, but I got that call from Jeff Ross just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you want to open the show? I'm like, what? Yeah, sure.
It was perfect.
I'm in. I'm way in. And then this happened on Saturday night. Jerry Seinfeld, I have a screen grab that I will now live forever because I got people sending me TikToks, Instagram, because SNL put it out on Twitter, YouTube. Like, I mean, because Jerry Seinfeld showing up on Saturday Night Live as the man who did too much press. And so there's on the TikTok video with the caption, there's a screen grab. I like Rich Eisen. Okay. So there's that.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Here's
the thing. Personally, I feel there's no such thing as too much press. Certainly if we're part of the press tour.
Right.
We're a place that you can come and be enveloped by a nice comforter.
And then shout us out somewhere else.
Yeah, well, just like Saturday Night Live,
for instance. No big deal.
Sure.
Small show.
I like Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
Hey! That's a very good drop.
That's an instant drop.
It's
good.
Thank you, Jerry. By the way,
Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
That appearance here as well. We cut up the, put on our reel on Instagram, the... Bob Einstein story over the weekend. Another classic. Jerry was here. He told some great stories. If you missed it, that's on our YouTube page. And try and find out the exact moment he did too much press. Maybe it happened in the middle of our interview. Hour number one is in the books.
Yeah, we were at the Dolby because Sarah performed at the Netflix is a Joke with Daniel Tosh. And all of a sudden she gets a text from one of our neighbors. Hey, you just got a shout out on Saturday. Chris's show got a shout out on Saturday Night Live. We were like, what? That's when I texted you. I was like, I think something just happened.
Something just, you were one of the people.
I was like,
my phone kept buzzing and buzzing and buzzing and buzzing until I finally, I'm like, oh, because Taylor absolutely notices when you're on your phone.
Yeah, she's
and she will call me out. She'll call Susie out. If we're on the phone too much, my 10-year-old daughter will say, hey, why are you on your phone? And it,
good for them.
You know, she will say that. So I'm trying. I don't want to get called out.
Yeah.
But when my phone is, I'm like, all right, let me take a look. And it's just like Jerry just said this. You're on the Weekend Update. He gave you a shout out. I'm like, under what possible terms and circumstances would he shout us out on Saturday Night Live?
Also, he was just in LA. And immediately back in
there.
New York.
It is.
I think that is hilarious.
You want to make a t-shirt of that, right?
I do want to make a t-shirt
okay.
of that.
Yeah, well,
yes, I do.
Fantastic.
I'm
like, cool. And then we paused it because we watch SNL clips all the time in the house. So she knows exactly who Colin Jost is and Michael Che and the Weekend Update. And then we watched it. She's like, wow. And then pause. You want to turn back Kung Fu Panda back on here? Like, okay.
Dad, back to
Disney. What a weekend. That and the roast. Monty Austinfort, the GM of the Arizona Cardinals, coming up on this accessible show.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, It's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.